I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Basket of Phelps, 92.3 The Fan, 216-474-0092. That is the number to call. You know you're always welcome on the show. We always want to hear what you have to say. And coming up a little bit later in the show, we'll talk a little bit of Guardians with Paul Hoynes. And John Schumann from the NBA is going to give us up to speed on what's going on with the NBA playoffs. One series, man, looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. The other series looks like it's not going to be a lot of fun. So, and as we dive into some other stuff, too, because we were talking about the Browns last hour. Kevin Stefanski was on with the Morning Boys, and he had the opportunity to kind of speak his mind. Do you feel like we got, like, what's the biggest thing we got out of the interview? What's the biggest thing we got out of that?
I thought the Kenny Pickett stuff was interesting. You know, this is the time of the year where you're not going to be, if you're Kevin, overly specific about anything, because I don't think you know specifics yet. And it was a casual conversation with Kevin. I thought the guys did a nice job talking to him, and I enjoyed listening to what Kevin had to say. But if you were looking for, who's your third wide receiver? Well, the guys didn't ask that, nor should they have. Mm-mm. And Kevin wouldn't have given you an answer anyway. Well, we're going to bring our guys in, and they're going to compete, and we're going to see how this thing stacks out, and we'll have our depth chart later. There's a reason that NFL teams don't put out depth charts until, like, the season starts.
Although I'm looking at one right now. It's outstanding.
It but it's not out colors. By the team, is it?
No, not at all.
You're looking at our lads.
Oh, I love our lads.
They have our lads all over the place. The problem with our lads sometimes, you might look and there's a guy who's third on the depth chart, and you know he's out for the season because he lost the lower half of his leg.
They're pretty quick on that.
No, I think they're very good, but just be careful.
How many amputees are coming out of football?
It's amazing.
Lou Groza was pretty good. Or not Lou, Tom Dempsey. Oh, my God, I can't believe I just said that. Tom Dempsey. I was having visions of walking around
Lou
that second.
Lou the toe.
Yeah,
it's not because he lost one.
Okay. I was thinking of Tom Dempsey.
Welcome to Baskin and Phelps,
everybody. You know what's weird? It's like the first time you walk in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, right? And you walk up the stairs.
Tom
and you
was
look
missing part of his foot and part of an arm.
Yeah, and you look at the case and you're like, wow, man.
You can kick.
And then they have the radio call there, too, that you can listen to it. And that's all I can think about. I was thinking about the toe, and then I started thinking about the shoe that's there, that's in Canton. Why are you shaking your head at me?
I'm shaking it at Dan.
Oh, no, I think it's... Trust me. Laura knows I've goofed up enough things. I can't say anything about anything. We've all been there. I think the most fascinating thing is that came out of this presser, this interview.
Yeah.
Was honestly the answer that we left the break with, which was this.
When you go somewhere new, you have to get to know your teammates. You got to get to rhythm up with the receivers. You have to be in a new environment and fit in. So all of that, I would say, has certainly prepared a guy like Dylan and any player that's been through a similar experience. I think that prepares you for walking into that locker room for the first time in the NFL.
Dylan Gabriel has played at three different colleges, UCF, Oklahoma, Oregon. Three pretty good programs. You know, UCF, obviously a smaller school, but then he moves to Oklahoma, big time, was very good. After being good at UCF, being good at Oregon, and he's very used to, and you've heard him say it, I've learned a bunch of different offenses, learned a bunch of different guys, had to show my leadership right away, blah, blah, blah. He's right. I'm telling you, if the guy was 6'3" or 6'4", he wouldn't have been on the board in the third round.
Is it to their advantage to transfer in college now? To be able to understand what it's like to be in a new setting? Kenny Pickett spent, 5 years at Pitt? Deshaun Watson was at Clemson for three. Shedeur Sanders started at Jackson State and then ended up at Colorado. And then Flacco made the turn from, Maryland to Delaware. So
you throw Jaden Daniels in there, too. Went to Arizona State and then found his way to LSU.
Wasn't Flacco at Pitt?
Was it Pitt? Is that where he was? I don't know why it's up in Maryland.
But But needless to say, like I think the jury is still out on all the transferring, if it's a good thing or a bad thing. But it's definitely a fascinating thing, well, and it's definitely a case that you can build that it's beneficial to a guy.
And can I throw this one at you? Every guy is different. Every case is different. It doesn't really matter, because there are a lot of different ways to get it done. And NFL teams, if you can play, we'll find you. Major League Baseball teams, if you can play, we'll find you. Same thing with NBA teams. Ask Scottie Pippen. So if you can play, they will find you.
Hmm. If you had 6 attempts and no yards, does that mean you were really there? Is that like if a tree falls in the forest?
You're talking about Flacco at Pitt,
yeah.
Yeah, he was there.
He was there. 3 games, 6 attempts.
I mean, you could toss Joe Burrow into that bucket as well as somebody who transferred out into a different place. Like, I think this might be something that teams have so evolved from where we've used to be, because you're right. The first question, you know, I think Andy said it. The first question Joe Flacco was asked was, why did you transfer? And now with the way that these guys are transferring, I think this might be a benefit.
Kevin said that Flacco told him that during OTAs. They were talking about that.
I think this might be a benefit for guys, and I think we're going to see this more and more because of exactly what Kevin Stefanski laid out. I could get along with people. I understand miscellaneous offenses better. I understand how to get together with receivers better, how to build that trust with them. I think the days of looking at older quarterbacks who are transfer and going, oh my God, it's Brandon Weeden 2.0, are dead.
Except for one thing.
Sure.
He was really old.
Yes, he was much older than all
these. You're not going to see the old.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Quarterbacks a lot, unless they have circumstances like Brandon Weeden. Dylan Gabriel's an older quarterback who spent 6 years. Why? He had an injury year in COVID and a lot of that has gone away. Guys aren't getting the extra year for COVID. The NCAA is not going to allow you to play 6 or 7 years until things change, if things change. That this period is coming to an end.
Let me hop on the phone lines real quick. Brian's in Brecksville. Hey, Brian, what's up?
Hi, Brian.
Hey, gentlemen. Good afternoon. Almost afternoon.
That's okay.
Hey, I was listening to the interview with Stefanski this morning, and he said something, and I really expected the Morning Boys to hop on it, and they didn't. He said they had the team from Colorado in to talk and share ideas.
They're front office personnel, for lack of a better way of putting it, right, Brian?
Yeah. So that tells me,
and sharing ideas and thoughts.
Was it about Shadur? That logical question was not asked, and I was wondering if you guys have a way to follow up on that.
I would agree with you, Brian. As soon as Kevin said that, because it was interesting, because I think it was Ken asked him about Shadur and Dion and everything else, and Kevin said, I don't really have a relationship with Dion, but he has a good relationship with the organization. In fact,
with Shermer, right?
Yeah, in fact, and then he said, they're, and I forget what word he used, but their team, their front office folks at Colorado,
he did say front office, yeah.
They were in town meeting with us, and we were collaborating on ideas. And I thought, wait a minute, Dion's not calling any shots, yet the entire Colorado team was here in Cleveland talking to, well, that's interesting.
and then a logical question to me would be, was the Oregon front office in town as well?
Well, I was looking for the folks from Kent State. I thought the same thing, Brian. I thought you're bringing the Michigan coaching staff in.
Talk about Mason Graham. I mean, but I think those guys are here more often than you think.
Well, and remember this, though. And Kevin wasn't specific about who was here.
The first thing I thought was Pat Shermer.
If it was Pat Shermer, yeah, because Kevin and Pat have a relationship.
But it wasn't the provost. It was definitely the football people.
The provost.
Oh, I was kind of hoping for the head of the physics department to come on in. Hey, Brian, thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks, Brian. In fact, we have that cut from the interview this morning. Here was what he had to say about talking to Deion Sanders.
I don't know Deion well. I don't talk to him. Pat Shermer's on the staff there. I talked to Pat. I know Deion. Deion has a great relationship with our organization, which is important. They're doing an amazing job at Colorado. But not speaking to Deion on a regular basis. Really not speaking to any coaches on a regular basis. I think we're all pretty busy.
Okay. Well, that answered that question.
Yeah, but see, he didn't say that. We didn't hear the part there where he said, but they were here.
Yeah, I think that that's just a natural progression. I think most football coaches will tell you that they all, like, they're constantly always building their relationships to make sure that they know somebody somewhere down the road. How many times do you hear about, like, high school coaches that are talking to college coaches, and then you've got college coaches that are talking to pro coaches, and they come in and they watch practice. And, like, that's a 365-a-day-year thing.
Bill Belichick, if you recall, was so enthralled with Chip Kelly's offense when Chip was coaching. And where was it? I forget where he was at the time.
I think it was Oregon at the time.
Was it at Oregon? And Bill, you know, took his crew or brought Kelly's crew in and collaborated with them. Hey, I want to pick your brain on what you're thinking here. That happens a lot, which it's is like, cool. It's cool.
I mean, it's like hiring anybody. I mean, we all list references.
I wonder if it was maybe when he was at New Hampshire.
It might have been.
I
don't recall where it was. I just know that Belichick picked Chip Kelly's brain about offense. Cool. And see, that's smart.
As I said, we all list references. We all list prior business. I mean, most of the time, and a good hiring manager is calling those places and checking what to know about that person. It's kind of the same idea.
Chris is in California. Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's going on, you guys? I didn't expect the call to be answered so quickly.
Oh, well, that's because I saw you were calling from California. I didn't want you to have to waste the time. Keep going.
Thanks, man. No, I'm glad you guys brought it up as far as the COVID year, because Pickett also had a COVID year as well, and that's why he stuck around for his fifth year at Pitt. So I think he had a talk with Payton, and he said it was a good idea to stick around so he can go in the first round. And it was honestly, I think he was a first round talent. I just think he was put in the wrong situation at Pittsburgh. And when he stayed at Pitt, he stayed there to achieve a goal, and he reached that goal by winning an ACC championship. And not only that, he elevated Jordan Addison's game. And once Pickett left, Jordan Addison went to USC, and you see where that went. He didn't do much at USC. So I think the right guy for this job, honestly, is Kenny Pickett. He's determined, and he puts his mind to something, it's going to get done.
Chris, what was your major at Pitt?
I didn't go to Pitt.
All right, Chris.
And you guys always question and wonder, like, am I related to Pickett? I'm not. I'm not related. The only way
we've never asked you that.
That's okay.
Chris, I agree with you. I want him to win the job. I want him to be the guy.
Yeah, so do I. I really do. I just think he's been handcuffed from the start of his career.
I'm hoping that's the case, Chris, because I think he's the perfect guy to be the starter if you're looking for, boy, we found a young guy with ability and he could be here long term.
Chris, thank you. Appreciate the phone call.
But he's got to play, Andy. He's got to show it on the field.
You know, we're talking about college football here. Changes in college football, one brewing and one came to fruition yesterday. So we're going to talk about that next. Baskin and Phelps, 216-474-0092.